Going to read from my old friend Isaiah today, and going to read from Isaiah chapter 7. And if you've got really good memories, I have to change it probably a bit since those days, but I did speak about this in 2003. So I can't remember yesterday, never mind, 2003. Isaiah chapter 7, and we'll read to 116, I think. 116. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Jehud, your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway of the fuller's field. And say to him, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted. For these two stubs are smoking firebrands for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. Thus says the Lord, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years Ephraim will be broken, so that it will not be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask for a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depths or in the height above. But Isaiah said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. So we're going to get a few thoughts from this scripture, which I pray will be helpful and sort of relevant, especially in these days. I mean, wars and rumours of war are all over the place, aren't they? And in fact, everybody's waiting for Iran to attack sort of Israel. Well, in those days, Assyria, and Syria in modern day is part of Iran and Kuwait and Turkey and a few countries around there. So it's even today, hundreds, thousands of years later, they're still fighting each other. But we're going to look at this king, King Ahaz. He was a young man when he became king, 20 years old, and he knew about God, but he did not know God in a way that he should. He was a bad king. The Bible tells us often in the Bible, like his dad, Jotham, it says he did what was good in the sight of the Lord. Uzziah did what was good in the sight of the Lord. It says of Ahaz, he did not do that which was good in the sight of the Lord. So we're going to go through this gently. I'm not going to exhaust it all. There's a little passage at the end which I'm not quite sure of, but we'll talk about that when we get to it. So here's the scene. The scene is the king. He's in Jerusalem with his people. And in those days, there's always sort of wars and countries invading each other. And basically the situation was, there was, as you know, when Solomon died and his son became king, the kingdom divided into Judah and the 10 tribes into Israel. And Israel and Judah were not the best of friends, and often they were at each other's throat. And so it was in these days, and Syria. And there was a growing power in those days called Assyria, which is different from Syria. And what the king of Israel wanted and the king of Syria wanted, they wanted Ahaz to join with them in an alliance so that they have a greater defense against the greater power of Assyria. And we find here, in fact, the news comes, in fact, that the Syrian forces were in the same land as Israel, and the thought was they were going to attack Jerusalem. Not the first time. They'd sort of been at each other's throat before then. In fact, there was a big battle when Syria and Israel fought against Judah, and he killed thousands and thousands of people, took them a lot captive to Samaria, and then there was a prophet in Samaria who spoke to the people and said, no, you've got to let them go. And so a lot of the captives came back to the land of Judah. So it wasn't the first time, but they knew that it was a serious stuff with these guys wanting to come against them. And isn't that a wonderful thing that it says that sort of when he heard the news, it says, so his heart and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. Can you imagine it? They were scared. Fear struck them. Anxiety gripped them. And not only was this with the onslaught of this army, which was expected to come, they also had a sense of guilt that they weren't right with God, and they weren't living according to what God laws and what God wanted. And the faith, if they had any, was very weak. Now, what they should have done was they should have turned to God and trusted in him. But instead of that, they become more unfaithful. And the fact that we hear that they turn to Assyria in the end to ask them to come to their aid and to help them in this situation. And we find that although they were, I say, not right with God, instead of turning to him, they turned away. You know, sin never gets better. Sin only gets worse. And one of the things which I wanted to point out right at the beginning of this, and you will know this, that Uzziah, his granddad, he loved the Lord. He wasn't perfect, as Jotham loved the Lord, and he wasn't perfect. But Jotham, he must have been told by his dad about the things of God, yet he didn't love God as he should. And it just struck me that being born into a Christian family doesn't necessarily bring you to be a Christian. Adversely to that, not being born in a Christian family is no barrier to becoming a Christian. The gospel is for whoever believes. The gospel is for those that turn to God and seek his forgiveness. Also, what was King Hezekiah's response to the situation he had? Well, instead of, I say, turning to God, he turned to himself. And the question I've got to ask ourselves, and I ask myself as well, is this: what is our response in time of trouble? What is our response in life, with family and friends and work, in our joys, in our sorrows, in our hardships, our successes, our disappointments? Trouble sometimes can come on us very quickly. It can be in a physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. It can be a combination of these things. And I don't know about you, but at times like this, hearts can be shaken. My heart can be shaken. I've got to confess it is, and often it is. The foundation, the very foundation sometimes of your life and of your mind can be shaken. And it can be difficult to keep on going on. And it also can be difficult to react to the trouble in the right manner. Often when you get trouble and something comes upon you, you get up in the morning, you don't know what's going to happen, and something happens, whatever it is. What is our initial response? Is our initial response, like mine, is often to go to pieces? Or is our response to move our hearts towards God and not away from Him? It says in the Psalms, doesn't it? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our confidence, let it be not in ourselves, not in our own ability to cope, but let our confidence be in God, for it is He who is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against the day. The Lord instructs Isaiah to go and to meet King Ahaz, who's just outside by the aqueduct pool. And He says these words to him in verse 4. He says to them, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted. Why? Because both Israel and Syria, that they look strong, they plotted evil, but in fact they were only two, as it describes them here, smoke and firebrands. They weren't red hot burning through. They're on the remnants of life, if you like. So they weren't quite what they seemed. He says to them, King Ahaz, take heed. A careful and cautious approach is required. This situation you're in, you should not act rashly or on impulse or panic. The best course of action you can take is to turn to your covenant God, to put your trust in Him, to rely on Him in difficult time. Do not turn to Assyria, who is the upcoming greater power. Don't turn to them for help. What you need to do in your situation is to be quiet. What's happening, the emergency which is happening, the forces against you, when you look at it, they're not on a scream to cause you to lose your head and to panic. For the situation is not quite what they're seeing. They weren't as powerful as you would think. So take stock. And in perspective of all that's happening, again, to trust in God. And when you look and you trust in God, the situation can look differently. We look at things in our own situations and in our own lives and in our own strength. And when we do this, I don't know about you, you can go to pieces and you can not stand as you should. But when we look to God and know that it is He that is working, it is He that is moving, it is He that is in control, then we'll our hearts and our heart turn to Him and trust in Him. And because He is strong and because He is able, our confidence can be in Him and not in ourselves. Doesn't the Bible tells us that it's better to put your trust in God than to put confidence in man. Isaiah says, do not fear or be faint-hearted. Look beyond the outward appearance. See beyond man. Like, remember Elisha's, one of the servants, and all the army was sort of round about, and Elisha's servant couldn't sort of see them until Elisha asked him to open his eyes, and then he saw them all around. And you see that God is all around us. So friends, Help us to not to be faint-hearted. Do not be discouraged. There is nothing to fear against these two nations, because, as I say, all the strength, all the energy had gone such as to an extent that the picture is this, that you can even put your foot on them because they're that weak. Their plan, Israel and Syria, was indeed to invade Judah and to put a new king on the throne. The king is not mentioned by name, it's just his dad's name mentioned, but the person they want to put on is not named. Friends, in all our trouble, it's easy to say, take heed, be quiet, do not be afraid, do not be faint-hearted. And all that would be our reaction. It may be yours, brothers. I always think I'm way out, because often my reaction is to shrink, is to panic for my your mind's all over it. And in the sense that's natural. But friends, we got to realise this, that our way is not hidden from the Lord. He knows exactly what our situation is. And the Lord is always in control. We, as his children, are under his mighty hand. The Lord is not passive. He's not inactive. He's not unmoved by our situation. But in fact, he's actually actively involved, because he's doing it according to his purposes, for his glory, and indeed for our good. It's true that the Lord's providence in our lives can bring trials and difficulties, but he surrounds us and he upholds us. We say these words, we hear these words, but how many of us do actually grasp them when we're going through them? That God is in control. You have trials in your life. I'm sure you have. You may not talk about them to anybody. You have difficulties in your life. Like I have trials and difficulty in my life. And it can be very difficult indeed to know and believe and have the faith to such an extent, as you say, to be satisfied with saying, it is well with my soul. Because you've got your emotions, you've got your mental state, you've got the actual situation. And God doesn't come down and suddenly say, you've got this problem, I'll solve it tomorrow for you. You can have the problems, you can have the difficulties, and you can have the trials, and you can have the afflictions for life. And how do we cope with that? How do we cope when day after day the situation doesn't change? And we sometimes gloomily kind of quit. God answers prayers, and yes, he does, praise God that he does. But it may be God's in our life that you have situations in life which you don't share with people. That day after day, the trial is there. And it's difficult. But then we have to somehow ask the Lord in his mercy to help us to look to him. And to know that although you do not understand, that underneath are the everlasting arms. We may not ever know in this life why. So how difficult is that? And some have gone on for years with these things. But friends, let's look to God. We need to take heed of what God says and how he works in our light. In the light that we are his people, in the light that we are his children, in the light that he loved us and gave himself for us. Not only, and the wonderful thing is this, and what we need to pray to God for this, that all the trials may be big or small, that he has the power to help us. And it's only he that can help us. Like the man at the pool. And when the Lord says, do you want to be healed? He said, Lord, I have no man to help me. Have you ever felt that in life? You have no one, no man to help you. But we have. We have the one who can help us. We have the one who can sustain us. We have the one who is able. We have the one who cares and loves us very, very much indeed. We are told not to be afraid. Well, let us remember the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And maybe John has experienced this, and recently I experienced it when I was at work. And I mentioned this last time, when things happen at work and sort of man seems to take all your vision, but then you realise that God is over that, and therefore we need to trust in him. We no need to be afraid, although we are, because the Lord is my helper. So friend, let us, that verse, maybe you learnt it when you were in Sunday school. I think I did. And it's one which, it's one we all know probably. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct our paths. And sometimes I think, well, I learned that in Sunday school all those years ago. But it is relevant and important to remember it today, tonight, in these days, as it was all those years. And let us, as it says in Hebrews, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in need. The Lord knows what we're like. We can't fool him. Nothing's hidden from us. We can't pretend. He knows. He knows we're weak. He knows we're sinful. He knows we let him down. And so let's just look to him, and may the Lord help us to do that. It goes on to say that about Isaiah, to get back to this, that the Lord says, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. These nations, Israel, these nations, Syria, that they thought they were in control. But they weren't. God is in control. God has always been in control. God will continue always to be in control. It's what God wants, not what man wants. And he goes on to say that these people, these nations, Israel and Syria, that within a time they will sort of disappear. The kings died. In fact, the city came and bumped one of them off, and they died. They were fleeting. It was God in control. And he says this to King Ahaz, and I've lost some place here. God says, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Remember, man has his plans. God has his plans. God's plans will prevail. We can despair when we see what's happening in the country, in the world. But God is in control. He will work his purpose is out. And for the Christian, is that hymn, isn't it? And the chorus goes, things don't just happen. Everything by God is planned. And I often say that to me, because you wonder what's happening. But God is in control. He's working his purpose out. And he's saying to me, Isaiah, if you will not believe, surely you will not be established. God has spoken the truth very clearly. The plans of man, of these nations, will not stand. They will not come to pass. they will not break Jerusalem down at that time. And King Ahaz and the people are called on to believe and to trust the word of God. They are called upon to show themselves steadfast and not waver and doubt about God. Basically saying, King Ahaz, if you have the firmness to believe, but you haven't and you're not stable, and God will not establish you. The Lord is in control of every aspect of our daily lives to the extent of each breath we take. Wow. Do you get up in the morning and things go through the day and things happen or situations there? And do we rejoice? So God is in control. Everything's... What are you doing? Dima, how can I get through the day? But what we need to do, again, is ask God in his mercy to help us to turn our thoughts and our minds to him, to somehow grasp and encapsulate God more than the actual things that we can physically see and hear and whatever. Because the Lord, as I say, knows the struggles and strains of life. He knows what we may call a good times and a difficult times. God never changes. Scripture tells and experience confirms that God is in control and is working his purposes out, as I said before, for his glory and our good. Remember, God is the potter, we are the clays. All things work together for good. The Lord, and this is maybe an important, the Lord, surprisingly enough, knows what he's doing. It may seem strange, but he knows what he's doing. He's not taking a chance. He knows what he is doing. And he will help us and be willing to be with us in our time of need. So we need to believe these things by faith and be established in our faith. His way, the Bible tells us, is perfect. And what we need to learn, even as old as we are, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us in due season. We need to embrace faith that is active, experimental, living, being worked out in our lives day by day. Faith which is established and waits upon the Lord in quietness and confidence, that we may, as it says in the New Testament, walk by faith, that we may live by faith. And if we do that, it brings peace to our souls. Ahaz, not convinced about all this. And God says, well, ask a sign, either in the heavens or in the earth. Whatever you do, ask a sign and I'll do it. I wonder if God asked us to do that. What would we say? Would we ask for a sign? And say, if you could only do this, Lord, tomorrow I could see it. But Isaiah, you see, Ahaz, his mind was like this. He thought, well, if I ask for a sign and God does it, then surely I'm on the bound to follow him. I mean, it's only right, isn't it? Do this. And God could. Remember when the sun stood still or went back? Remember when people crossed the dry land on over the sea? God could do it. But Ahaz said, oh no, I'm not going to test God, I'm not going to tempt God. It wasn't because he'd been holy and wanted it. He'd already made his mind up that the help he wanted was in Assyria. He could see their power. And so he thought, well, if I ask for a sign, I'm bound to do it. I can't then go to Assyria. But what he does in fact do So he says, no, I won't ask for a sign. In fact, at one point, he does go to Assyria and asks for help. And it wasn't that long, years and years later, that Syria came and not only destroyed sort of Syria and Israel, but also had invaded Israel as well, I think. Yes, I'm sure. Yeah. So the Lord said, okay, if you won't ask for a sign, I'll give you one. And time's running out now, so I'm glad, because I can't explain this too well. He said, where it is in verse, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, there's been discussion who, what exactly is meant by this, but as far as I contain, to cut out all the reasonings behind it, that it to do with looking to the future and looking to, in fact, to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So, Ahaz wouldn't ask for a sign because he didn't want to follow God. And isn't it wonderful that God indeed sent this sign, that in the fullness, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, and Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. And we talk about it, we preach about it. But he came into the world to save sinners. We're all in this church tonight. But we're all sinners, saved by grace. And it's because Jesus came. Because he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, of course, if God has done this, well, of course, he has this. Because of what God has done in sending his Son to die for you and for me. And we're not special people, but that's what he did. And it's a wonderful thing. How will he do wrong for us? How will he just put things in our lives to make us miserable? Why would he wants our good for his glory. He loves us. And he cares for us. And what we need to try and do somehow, and we need God's help to do this, is to realize the reality of being saved and being a child of God and rely upon him. And let us, as I say, the little other chorus was, isn't it? I'll close with this. That with all these things which are going on, with all the fears and all the good times, I mean, it's not a thing just doom and gloom, it's not. But let's live our lives and let us turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Amen.